Down the middle of the field, wide open, got it! On the run, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
He goes and fights and pushes, and he's in!
Right at the goal line, and it is caught and juggled and caught, touchdown!
Oh, my goodness!
It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube.
40, 45, 50, he's in open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! It's a one-play drive!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Does it get any better than this? Browns 27, Colts 19, Browns 1-1. Every other team in the AFC North, 1-1. Yep, a three-way tie for first, and the Browns are in it. Who would have thunk it after 2 weeks of the 2011 NFL season? Great stuff at Lucas Oil Stadium yesterday. Yours truly was there to take it all in. And I have to say, it was amazing. And you would never know by the sound of that crowd, that loud crowd that filled that place, 65,000 plus paid attendance, that they didn't have a certain guy at quarterback named Peyton Manning. You would never know that because that 12th man that was there tried its best to make up for whatever the Colts were lacking and tried to make it very difficult on a Browns team that didn't let their presence, that fan presence, affect their performance. They played, was it a perfect game? No. But an excellent game. I mean, the type of game they had to play to come out with that win. I thought it would be a tough one. I thought it would be at times edge of your seat stuff. I never anticipated any kind of blowout, any kind of rout. Nothing like what the Colts experienced in week one at Houston. I wasn't looking at that. But to have what they had, to end up where they ended up in terms of the outcome, this is about as good as it gets. And love to share something with you right now in the locker room. In the Browns locker room after the game, Pat Shurmur's speech to his team.
My goodness, it feels good to win them. And you're rewarded, guys. You're being rewarded because offense, defense, special teams, the coaches, the people that get us here, the people that support us, everybody put forth a tremendous effort and fought this thing out from the first play to the last, right? And I'm happy for you. I'm proud of your effort, and this is going to be a year. There's going to be a lot of firsts. There's going to be a lot of firsts this year, and this is our first one. So enjoy it, right? Now, the easy thing to say right now, guys, is Victory Monday. But here's what we got to do, man. It'll be a first for some of us, right, making the corrections after a victory. So it's important we go through the process. I promise you, we win, you'll have your Victory Mondays. But I think it's important, especially early in the year, that we go through the process of making the corrections, just like we felt horrible last week, made the corrections. It's important we go through the corrections, make the corrections when you're feeling good, so that we get ready to play Miami, right?
Yep.
All right, so.
So we'll
see you at 12, all right.
Here we go.
Hey. Congratulations.
There's a first for everything. This one's important to all of us, but I know it's important to Coach Pat. Oh, game ball.
Thank you.
Feels much better to win, baby. Feels much better to win. Let's keep it going. Win on three. One, two, three.
Win. Oh, didn't you just love that? I mean, great stuff, great sound from inside the Browns locker room, and ending with Colt McCoy giving the game ball to Pat Shurmur for his first victory as an NFL head coach. And a big takeaway from that was Shurmur showing a high level of maturity as a first-year coach. The easy thing would have been to curry some favor with your players, give them Victory Monday, give them the day off. But you know what? That would be Monday off, Tuesday off, and you're preparing for a game against Miami or any team? I don't think so. Especially when you did not have any offseason with these guys. And he knows that. This was a different year. So Victory Mondays, they'll come, as he said. There'll be other victories. But something not to really do at this point when it's about correction, when it's about fixing things, when it's about not assuming you've got it all figured out. We've got your questions. We take them at Ask Vic on the Browns official Facebook page and also at our official Twitter page. Paul at Eckert 1975 asks, how do you think the Browns felt about Artis Hicks on the right side? Here's how I think they felt. Did you hear the name Robert Mathis called in that game? Because Mathis was Hicks' responsibility. Dwight Freeney was going against Joe Thomas, and Joe Thomas did a tremendous job against one of the very best defensive ends in the game. But look, that sack that he got, that hard hit that he got that caused the fumble on McCoy, that came after a long time of Colt kind of looking downfield with the ball in his hand. That was inevitable because you're not keeping Dwight Freeney out that long, even if you're Joe Thomas. So I thought Hicks did a pretty credible job making that start in a very loud place, a place that does not favor offensive tackles going against standout defensive ends. For more of my takes, you can check out my blogs, my columns, at ClevelandBrowns.com, Carucci's Corner. Also, check out the great work of Matt Florjancic on the site as well. If you can't catch the show on ESPN 850 WKNR, you go to ClevelandBrowns.com. You listen to it live. Oh, and by the way, you can ask questions of me via our text messaging feature. You text the question to 78307 with Ask Vic, and then we might be able to get your answer on the air and mention your name or put an initial or something like that so we know where the question is coming from. The show is... We've got great stuff for you. Bernie Kosar is going to join us, make the first of his 2 weekly visits. And then we have the roundtable convening. And we're going to have a long discussion with Jimmy Donovan and Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. And also Tom Withers from the Associated Press. We'll give out our game balls. And you're going to give out your game balls as fans. We've got those as well to distribute during the show. So which player should get a game ball, your game ball, in the 27-19 win over the Colts? The choices, Joshua Cribbs, Usama Young, Jabal Sheard, or Peyton Hillis. Those are your four choices. All right, more coming up. A conversation with Bernie Kosar on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Hi, this is Vic Carucci talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. I'm driving a 2012 Ford Explorer Limited. It's roomy, and it has voice-activated sync, navigation, the works. I love the Liberty Ford experience. Their guaranteed financing and award-winning service department and body shop just add to it. Go to any one of their five locations to check out their huge selection of new and used inventory, or make it easy on yourself and go to libertyford.com.
Hey, Browns fans, Bernie Kosar here. As a former NFL quarterback, I know what it's like to get hit hard. But you can keep your wallet from getting hit hard when you take advantage of Discount Drug Mart's $1.99 generic prescription program. Discount Drug Mart offers hundreds of prescriptions and non-prescription medications starting at just $1.99. Just like my offensive line protected me, Discount Drug Mart will protect your wallet. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runouts, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
Universal Windows Direct is back with our crazy $99 window sale.
Bill, I can't believe we're doing this. For every window you buy, you get the second one for $99.
Mike, that's almost like giving the windows away, man.
Dude, I hear you, but it's fall, home improvement time, and we don't want people to trust their windows to just any company.
I agree. We haven't even mentioned 36 months interest-free financing.
So call us right now at 216-518-8900, and we'll give you an extra 15% off.
You're killing me, Mike.
Call Universal Windows Direct, and tomorrow you'll be saved.
I love my windows.
Hey, the Roadman Kenny Rhoda here for It's Just Lunch. Guys, I've done it. It's fun, it's personal, it's easy, there's no pressure. You meet a lot of great ladies who are all selected just for you. Call the Independence office at 216-328-9000 or go online at itsjustlunchcleveland.com. The professionals at It's Just Lunch take care of everything. They select your matches, schedule the date, make the reservation for lunch or drinks after work. You just show up and have all the fun. I've had a blast with it, guys. Get out and have some fun yourself. Call It's Just Lunch, 216-328-9000, and tell them the Roadman.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car service, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
ESPN Cleveland traffic.
40 westbound at Warrensville Center, clear an accident. You still have 140 westbound at the airport, left lane blocked back into Tiedemann. 40 eastbound, slow 77 to Warrensville Center. 271 southbound back in Forbes to Harvard. And the Interbelt southbound, slow Superior to 77. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850 WKNR traffic.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on this Victory Monday, and brought to you by Madden NFL 12, in stores now, EA Sports, it's in the game.
Bernie, Bernie, oh yeah.
And we welcome Bernie Kosar to the show for the first of his two weekly visits. Bernie. You said it Friday, Bern, you wanted to have a discussion where we could talk, to quote you, happily about the game the previous day. Guess what? We're going to talk happily about the Browns' win over the Colts.
Yeah, and what a difference a week makes in terms of your perspective, personality, and feelings about how we feel this Monday as opposed to how we felt last Monday at this time.
Oh, man, and you could feel it. It's palpable around the building. As I said earlier in the show, it's something to behold here, really, the difference of, as you say, of what the feeling was a week ago, what it is now. But Bernie, this is the thing. I don't sense it's out of control, if that makes sense. In other words, it is still only week number two. There are still 14 games to play, and one game at this stage does not make or break really anything, but the importance of it in terms of getting the needle pointed in the right direction, again, reestablishing or reaffirming that this new program, what Pat Shurmur's bringing here, new direction, it's legitimized by games like yesterday.
Well, there's no question about it. Just like last week, we were saying you can't get too low or too down because it is just week one and only 1 week. The same bodes true for this week. You can't get too high, too excited, because it is a week. And it is better, obviously, to have a win as opposed to an L. But getting that W, getting that first W, effectively on the road, at Indianapolis, we all know, without Peyton Manning, is not an AFC champion-type football team. They're struggling, too. But any time in the NFL, you could win on the road. It's the first time going on the road. Colt McCoy effectively, managed and handled the team yesterday. Peyton Hillis bounced back from that fumble, had 94 yards rushing. It's guys like Jabal Sheard having his first sack, forced fumble, recovered fumble. Definitely some better things to pick on and look at in this win than there was just 7 days ago.
And how about Colt McCoy's performance? I mean, he didn't have an awful opening game, but you got the sense, especially in the latter stages of that Cincinnati game, that's when you were looking to your quarterback to pick things up, to be a difference maker, to those drives that stalled, for those not to stall, and have your quarterback, again, make the plays. I saw yesterday a guy who was in really good command of that game and a guy who just sort of felt very much in the comfort zone that we had seen him for the better part of those first three preseason games that he played.
Yeah, and I agree. And to take it a step further, a guy who, when the opportunity presented itself yesterday, when the play wasn't there right away, or the protection broke down a little bit, or they just happened to get a good pass rush, him breaking the pocket and making the plays to Evan Moore to get the touchdown pass, to Muhammad Massaquoi to get the ball down to the 1 or 2 yard line, strategically kind of stepping up and selectively when the time was right, making plays and making big plays at strategic times yesterday, definitely was a factor in coming out with the first win of the year.
And another thing that struck me, Bernie, was the play calling of Pat Shurmur, the design of that game plan, where everyone pretty much knew going in, anyone with any sense of what the Colts were about, that smallish defense that's built more for speed than being physical,
that the Browns' physical offensive line could have an edge, that running the football would be the way to go. But it wasn't just a simple case of muscling up and playing power football. There was a good mixture, a very good balance with 34 rushing attempts to 32 pass attempts.
Well, it is almost the perfect balance that you get of run and pass. And not only the big offensive line against the pass-rushing type defense, but to add the Peyton Hillis factor with the physical, bruising, tailback-type runs really added to the duress, not only from when it was running plays or pass plays, but Indianapolis being worried about being run at caused them, I think, some issues within the pass game itself.
Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterback, joining us as he always does on Mondays on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, the other big story of this game, there were a lot of them, but the other major story was special teams, was the performance of Joshua Cribbs being the dynamic difference-making guy that he was, especially a couple of years ago. He's back to that form.
Yeah, that's really 2 weeks in a row now when things are getting a little, I don't want to say bad, but when things are kind of in a lull, that's 2 weeks in a row. He had a kickoff return that kind of added that spark, gave the bench, gave the team some life, that kind of started the confidence and the optimism for the team. Because still, plays like that, especially with a young team, which the Cleveland Browns are, really, I think, gets the adrenaline, gets the motivation going for not only just the offense coming out, but for the whole sideline and the whole 53 men that are there.
Yeah, and the other part that I liked, and again, he takes it upon himself to be this and really, in effect, it's a leadership role. I mean, saying that he intends to do this, intends to take the ball out. I don't see it as a selfish me guy. I see it as a guy who truly understands what he can do and picks his spots to be that kind of a difference maker. It's rather than doing it foolishly or recklessly. And look, with the new kickoff rules, it is about making these plays from very deep in the end zone, where under normal circumstances or when the rules were different, you would advise not to come out. But when you're Josh Cribbs and you're always trying to make a play, I don't know that you discourage that.
No, I concur 100%. It's not foolish or recklessly. I think it's confidently that he's attempting these plays. And again, there's 2 weeks in a row now where it's given that spark, it's given that life at a point of the game that was definitely needed.
And I like the fact that he's become more and more involved in the passing game. Those bubble screen types of plays really play to his skill set, Bernie.
Well, and again, in and around that second quarter when there was a lull in the offensive moving the ball, here's almost a 3rd and 10 play. Nobody calls the bubble screen with the real expectation of making the first down in that type of area and that type of play call. And here's Josh Cribbs getting the bubble screen on 3rd and almost 10 and making a first down out of it. Good confidence by Coach Shurmur, having the confidence in game planning to see that it's there, and then having the confidence in Joshua Cribbs that he's able to make that type of individual play to get a first down and keep his stakes moving, which eventually I think led to Evan Moore's touchdown catch.
And running, of course, we knew, again, big story of this game. We talked about the mixture and the balance, but the effectiveness. A week ago when they were running the football, they really weren't having the success doing it. A lot of people were not happy. Critics were not happy that they didn't run enough. Certainly 27 carries by Peyton Hillis, enough times to run, but it also was the fact that he averaged 3.5 a rush, pretty good, and certainly had that wearing down effect. And then by late in the game, that Colts defense was ripe for that 24-yard touchdown run that he had.
Yeah, I think there's an cumulative effect that has on a defensive front 7 or 8 guys, and the confidence factor that the O-line gets. And I think Peyton Hillis gets stronger as the game goes on, as evidenced by the late touchdown run. That really sealed the game.
How special, Bernie, is this defensive front? I mean, when you see now what these two young guys mean, Jabal Sheard, with the difference-making performance that he has. Big Phil Taylor in there, who just from maybe from the moment he has stepped on the field going back to training camp, just looks like he belongs. And then Ataba Rubin and Jamie Mitchell doing their part. It looks like the building of a formidable front, but very exciting that two parts of that are rookies.
Yeah, a nice, young, aggressive front four to put that pressure on. I think a degree of credit goes out to the experienced Dick Geron or whoever was responsible for making that decision to flop defensive ends Jabal Sheard and Jamie Mitchell during the game. Not an indictment of Jabal Sheard, but one of the things that's coming out is his pass rush ability has been fantastic. He's still learning and trying to gain some strength and weight against the run. So Cincinnati kind of keyed and ran a little bit his way. This week, by jumping, switching ends positions, kept Indianapolis off target and put a lot of mental anguish on the offensive line and the play calling from their standpoint. And the beneficiary was the Browns front four and getting better pass rush and a better job of stopping their running game.
Yeah, and to take it a step further, it was actually the suggestion or whatever you want to call it from Jabal Sheard to the coaching staff. And I want to give Dick Geron credit for this, for listening to a rookie who essentially said, look, I'm better if I'm working on that left side instead of the right side. Left side was where he was in college, and Jamie Mitchell going to that right side, you know, realizing that combination, and I know you, as a coach, you got to also see what it can do, as you pointed out, the difference it can make, but just the willingness to listen to the rookie make the case that was his comfort spot at Pitt, and he's seeing it now as a pro. Great stuff all the way around. Bernie, always enjoy it with you. We look forward to talking again on Friday, where we will preview game number 3 against the Miami Dolphins.
That was great. Have a great week.
All right, brother. You too. That is Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterback, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the value you're looking for at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Lease the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion or Escape for $199 a month. Your choice, 2012 Fusion or Escape for only $199. With outstanding value, quality, and technology, it's no surprise Ford is the best-selling brand in America. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your best wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the Lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your Lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
In the world of big box retail, it's refreshing to find customer service with fair pricing. At Summit Sound and Security, they truly mean custom. Football season is here, and Summit Sound specializes in customizing your new home theater experience. Summit Sound is an authorized dealer of quality brands like LG, Samsung, Panasonic, Mitsubishi, and DirecTV. Stop in today and experience 3D TV in the new home theater showroom. Summit Sound and Security, on Route 91 in Twinsburg, and online at summitsound.net. At Summit, you've reached the peak.
It's time for the MMA Minute, presented by Time Warner Cable Events on Demand. Unleash the power of your sports fan with Time Warner Cable Sports.
UFC 135 is this Saturday night, and the main event features a light heavyweight title fight between the champion John Jones and challenger Quentin Rampage Jackson. This will be the first title defense for Jones after he captured the title in March from Mauricio Shogun Hua. Jones is considered the next big thing in mixed martial arts, and he will get his first chance to prove that against the former champion in Jackson, who is coming off victories of Matt Hamill, Lyoto Machida. The winner will meet Rashad Evans, who has a controversial history with both fighters.
The MMA Minute with Jordan Sherwood, presented by Time Warner Cable Events on Demand. Unleash the power of your sports fan with Time Warner Cable Sports. Get the latest MMA news by listening to Inside the Cage, Saturday mornings at 11 on ESPN 1540 KNR2.
There's going to be a whole slew of football games to watch this weekend. Got plans yet? I mean, you could always watch the game at your mommy's house.
Go, go, go! Touchdown!
Wow! Football is
is my favorite show.
Or you could go tailgating with fellow diehard football fans at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's still okay to bring mom.
Touchdown!
Oh, run!
Then again, you could always go to that sort of snooty guy from work's party.
Cheers!
You spilled my apple tinny all over the duvet.
Or there's tailgating at Buffalo Wild Wings and its endless supply of tasty wings and ice-cold draft beer.
Wow! They really do have every single game. We're going to be here for a while.
Cheers to that!
And who are you going to chest bump when your team wins if you watch at home? Your cat?
Touchdown! Bring it here, Whiskers.
Ow! My eyeballs are bleeding!
So come tailgating at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Visit the newly remodeled locations in Strongsville and Medina.
Thank you for calling Bank. Our banking hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
You have reached Bank. Please call back during our normal business hours.
Welcome to our hours on Monday through Friday.
It is after 5 p.m. We are closed. Hi, thanks for calling Ally Bank. How may I help you?
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
And we thank you so much for being part of this Victory Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Folks, this year, don't fumble your home improvement projects with another company. Hand it off to the winning team at Universal Windows Direct. Since 2002, Universal has been Cleveland's number one pick for quality vinyl replacement windows. And this month, you'll score with their $99 window sale. For every window you buy, get the second window for just $99. Plus, go long with 0% financing for up to 36 months, and you still may be eligible for the 2011 Energy Tax Credit. For a free estimate, you call 216-518-8900. With Universal Windows Direct, you'll be saying, I love my windows. And this segment is driven, this roundtable segment, that is, driven by Liberty Ford. The roundtable convenes as we take a look back at the Browns' first victory achieved at Indianapolis. And with me now, Jim Donovan from the Browns Radio Network. How you doing, Jimmy?
Good to be here. Good to be 1-1.
Doug Deacon, also from the network.
I'm glad to be 1-1, too.
And Tom Withers from the Associated Press.
Vic, thanks for having me again.
All right, guys. So we'll start this in the obvious place, I think. How big was it to get, even though it's game two, how big was it to get off the schneid of what that first week was all about, which was really awful?
Well, it really was. I mean, a week ago, it was pretty glum around Cleveland after what had happened in that Bengal game. I think it's huge. I think you nip it in the bud, and they did that, and I give them a lot of credit. They had a very good week of solving things. They solved the defensive problem getting the signals in. They came up with an answer for that. They worked on the running game a little bit more. They professionally solved the punting situation and brought Brad Maynard in here. And I thought he did a very, very professional job yesterday, which was all that was needed. And he was able to get the ball inside the 20 a couple of times. And then I think they settled Colt McCoy down. And I think Colt McCoy settled himself down and wanted to be better. And I think they got a lot of work done and it paid off for them.
Thorough. I was going to say, he just gave a very thorough list. But did any single thing jump out at you?
Yeah, I mean, I think third down conversions yesterday. They doubled their conversion right there. I think, you know, Colt McCoy was around 70% and completion percentage all afternoon. And the punting game, obviously, was a big plus for him. And not only the punting game, but, you know, Maynard did a nice job on holding, too, because there was one that was a little airmailed back there.
I'll compliment Doug because on Friday he talked about manageable downs.
Yep.
And, you know, making sure that they move the chain a little bit on first and second down to make third down a little bit easier. And I thought that was a big key. And, you know, for the second week in a row, number 16 was the spark that got the fire started,
really,
wasn't he?
He really was. And what I'm seeing in the guy is you think of a return guy as a role player, as a utility type of person. That for Josh Cribbs, that's not the role. The role is he's still the quarterback. He's still that kid who played quarterback in college.
Absolutely.
Because he's taking command. And seeing him up on that podium, it's like,
I'm going to do this. When I get the ball in my hand, I will change the game.
Boy, and he knows when to do it. I'll tell you, because there are points where, you know, things aren't going well or they're flat, which was the situation against Cincinnati. And I think they were a little stymied yesterday early in the ball game offensively, and they held serve defensively. And then he hits that return, 51 yards, just like the week before. I think that he is the igniter. He is the ignition button for the team.
You know, I think in a strange way, the change in the kickoffs might be to the Browns' advantage. You know, I mean, they might not be able to kick it over his head, and at some point they're probably going to start directional kicking him, you know, on punts and squibs on kickoffs to get the ball out of his hands, because as we know, once he's got it, anything's possible.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about Josh is, you know, you talk about the quarterback of the team. Josh covers punts too. I mean,
I haven't seen
any guys want to do that. And, you know, I think he brings a lot of energy to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, people look for him to make a play. And, and if you got that guy, you know, you can't do it every week. But with that, then it takes a lot of the burden off a lot of other people.
And what I also saw from him was that role that's clearly developing in the passing game. He is becoming a legitimate factor as a receiver. I like those routes, those screen type of routes that give him a chance to build up a little bit of head of steam, get the ball in his hand, and do what he does.
He's a little bit of a different kind of run after catch guy.
No doubt.
Because once he gets it, and like you say, Vic, if he gets a head of steam, you don't want to tackle him. I mean, really, because he becomes a very fast, powerful back that he really almost turns every one of those little bubble screen plays into punt returns, and he's tough to bring down.
Yeah, he takes two or three, and I can see Greg Little maybe developing that kind of a role as well, where they're going to use him underneath, get the ball in his hands, and he's a beast. So yeah, you're right, Jim.
So that's one of the biggest takeaways for sure is Cribbs. How about the fact that we look at this defensive line and guys, those two young players. Now I think we all reasonably expected they would make contributions, that we would notice them, but this is going a little beyond. I mean, I think seeing what Jabal Sheard and Phil Taylor have done in two games, where they've been noticeable in two games, particularly yesterday, gives me a sense that, wow, this could be the ground floor of something very special.
Yeah, Taylor shows no signs of being a rookie. I mean, just the way he looks. He just shows no signs of being a rookie. The other kid plays with an engine that's really going.
Yeah.
And, Doug, I thought that was a great move that they made. They put him over on the side that he wanted to be on, that he was comfortable on, and he flourished doing that yesterday, yeah.
But you see those young kids, I think you can throw in Reuben and Mitchell, too, because is a young defensive line.
It's a young group. Yeah.
And you give them credit, but I think you got to go to Reuben, because he is the guy that sets the tone.
Okay.
The way he plays the game, the hustle that he has, the things that he does. I mean, if you're sitting there watching the film after a game and you see this guy, you know, outside the numbers on every play, you're sitting there saying, well, that's the way you're supposed to do it then, I guess. So, I mean, I think he leads by example.
Right, right.
And as Jimmy said, too, credit to the coaching staff for, you know, listening to him and you know, agreeing that he might be better on the other side. So, and to Deke's point, too, I mean, Reuben is just terrific in there. And as Sheldon Brown told me a few weeks ago, you know, all Taylor has to do is take a look at Reuben and watch the way he plays, and he can learn from him.
I think the thing that in a general sense also impressed me, that was such an embarrassing situation a week ago for the defense and for Dick Geron. He stepped up, took the heat as a leader of a defense should, or a leader of any part of this team should. That was impressive. But what was even more impressive was the idea, and you said at the top, Jimmy, so much was fixed. That was a tightly played game on both sides of the ball for the most part. But I thought defensively it was like, no, we're not going to screw. If we lose, we lose. But we're not going to lose because we screwed up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I really thought I really think they had a great week. I mean, I know their chins were dragging last week. And I know you're a first-year head coach, and to have the day going okay, where it looks like you're going to get out of that opener with a win, and then the way it just imploded on them on that one play, I mean, that's a tough thing to take. I mean, it really is. So I thought they did a great job, and they got rid of the penalties.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part. I mean, they had 11 the week before. They had 10 in the first half, 7 in the first quarter. And that kind of went away, too.
Yeah.
The best way to silence the critics is to win a football game, and that's what they did.
No, that's exactly right.
As you guys remember, at this point last week, we were talking about Pat Shurmur's demeanor in that news conference on Monday, and I think that really rubbed off. And in talking to a couple players today, they were just saying that the Monday film session, unlike last year, was not, you know, demeaning and, you know, dragging out all the errors again. It was, and not that, you know, if you don't do the job – this week you're going to lose your job. It was, hey, here's what you did wrong. Here's how we're going to fix it. Mm-hmm.
It was constructive.
Well, yeah, and the problem then, you know, when you get those kind of coaching sessions where they are demeaning, then you go out there and you're afraid to make a mistake, right, and you're not playing football.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think this then gets us to the point of the leadership of this football team, because this was as much, the second game was as much going to be a test about Pat Shurmur as it was anything else. And look, he looked like a guy who was definitely suffering. Probably a little more maybe than your veteran coach would from a first game. He admitted he wasn't getting much sleep.
Yeah.
He admitted he was kind of going within himself a little bit. But none of that, it really matters. What only mattered is how he handled it with the club, right? And also the players looking to him to see just how, right, is this guy going, right, to respond? Because I think if he gave them a sense of shaky leadership, this thing could have definitely snowballed.
Oh, I'm telling you. 0-1 becomes 0-3 quickly.
We've,
yeah,
seen that.
Yeah, yeah, we, it really, yeah, does. But I really think there was a sense that these guys really wanted a win for him, too.
That's,
and for,
that's
the
what
staff.
I got.
Yeah,
yeah.
I really got the impression that they got a boot out of winning for him and getting the, you know, the game ball and giving him the opportunity, right, to get that first win and hopefully many more.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt his ability to communicate and his ability to speak player talk, I think, you know, yeah, he relates very well to the players. And, you know, he took a lot of the blame for the first game. And, you know, that was a tough one. I mean, not only that, you know, the gaffe they had on the defensive side, he gets the penalty for, you know, the ref running into,
right,
him, the back judge.
Right.
You know, there are things that you just don't want on your resume on your, yeah, first game. But, you know, he shook it off.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, hey, it's a learning thing. And you got to look at this team. We talked about the youth on defense. There's going to be growing pains.
Yeah. Right.
But if you can, you know, limit the those pains, you got to start. And I think that's what they did on Sunday.
You know what's nice, though, to everybody sitting here at the table? We're going into week three, and there is no talk, nor should there be, of, well, when are they going to go to Seneca Wallace? When are they going, right, to take a look at Thaddeus Lewis?
Yeah.
I mean
yeah,
they have fully committed to this kid,
yep,
at quarterback.
Yep.
He's committed to them.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about how Shurmur was devastated after the loss. McCoy was devastated,
yeah,
after the,
oh,
loss,
yeah,
because,
yeah,
he had had such a good preseason.
And he did a nice job yesterday, didn't
he,
you guys,
did,
think? I mean,
yep,
he managed the,
so,
game well. And you know what? And once again, they played to his strengths, too. It's getting, well, out of the pocket, getting on the move, and making things happen.
Yep. There was efficiency. There was command.
Yeah.
There was a sense that he, and look, I worried about this definitely. You're talking about a big, loud place. You're talking about the kind of place that a young quarterback can wither, and many of them have.
Yeah.
You're talking about a place where mistakes will happen for that visiting team just because the noise. And this crowd did not react differently because Peyton Manning wasn't there. This crowd was still into it fully. In fact, I think this crowd felt a stronger burden,
sure,
to help the team.
Yeah.
So I was worried that I thought, okay, we're going to find out a lot about Colt McCoy here. When he took that hit from Dwight Freeney, and I thought clearly,
wow,
he was holding it way too long.
Yeah.
He's drifting and drifting and drifting, and is still thinking. And he said his next option was going to run, but I looked at it from the press box. I said, you're holding this too long. This is going to end badly, and it did with Dwight Freeney. And from that point on, I said, how does he respond? And he showed us.
Well, Doug, you yelled out, that's Second Mississippi.
Yeah.
Get rid of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, when Joe Thomas is the guy who gets there,
yeah,
it's you're holding the ball too long, and
yes,
you know, you just speed up the clock.
Yeah, and but what did it tell you? You've been around your share of quarterbacks, and judging them as an offensive line, as the guy who's protecting them, when they do take a shot like that, and they always do, even if you're your best efforts,
yeah,
you were always looking at how they responded.
Well, yeah, you look how they respond, and you feel bad if it's your guy, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's just not the guy that got beat. It's everybody, because usually they only rush four, so there's one guy that's, you know, available to, you know, look for any garbage that comes through. And you know, that's where you make your offensive line, when all five guys are looking to block those four guys. It's just not, okay, you got this guy and you got this guy. Okay, nobody's coming. I'm going to try to help somebody out.
All right, the halftime is here for the Roundtable, the Monday edition of the Roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. More coming up. We're going to distribute our game balls. We're going to drill deeper into yesterday's victory over the Colts on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop Ohio's largest selection of Ford trucks at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Like Northeast Ohio's best-selling trucks, Ford F-Series and Ranger. Liberty Ford has hundreds of fuel-efficient Rangers in stock now, available with 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 in rebates. That's zero for 60, plus $1,000 on Ford Ranger. Guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your Best Wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
It's a fact Fox 8 viewers agree on.
Fox 8 News is different.
There's more to news than just the news.
They make us feel like we're at home with them or they're at home with us, and it's a great feeling to have that.
They're like friends and neighbors that I have that I bring into my living room when I want to see the news.
And there's more to a forecast than just toys and gadgets.
I don't know, when you hear Dick Otter's name, you smile because he's, you know, he's a legend.
There's a difference. Cleveland's own Fox 8 News.
Summer is the perfect time to get your car looking great. Visit Z-Bart for sizzling summer savings. Now save $30 off Z-Bart window tint or get your car professionally detailed for only $89.95. Visit Z-Bart.com for locations near you.
Get $2 select tall draft beers at your Buffalo Wild Wings in Bainbridge, Lynnhurst, and Sandusky during every single pro football game this season.
Have a passion for health and fitness? Rather be in the gym than in office? Change lives by sharing that passion. Stoutzenberger College is introducing a new program this fall designed just for you. Personal fitness training. Make your dreams come true. Fall enrollment ends October 14th. Call Stoutzenberger College at 440-838-1999 or visit learnwhatyoulove.com. See what everybody's talking about. For information about the college graduation rates, median debt, and more, visit learnwhatyoulove.com. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, and eligible veterans can utilize their Montgomery DI bill.
Hurt in a car? Call KNR. 1-800-HURT-NOW. Kissling, Nestico, and Reddick.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
Hi, this is Muhammad Masqua, and you're listening to the Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We're back on the roundtable portion of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we look back at the Browns' victory over the Colts yesterday. Guys, some stats that jump out at you in this game. One that really catches my eye and telling of this game, and time of possession isn't always the stat that be all end all stat, but 34-34 for the Browns, 25-26 for the Colts. So as much as we talked about McCoy doing some things, throwing the football, even distribution, eight different receivers catching the ball, another stat that jumps out, and that the top three of the four were wide receivers actually, is telling me that you can mix the pass and the run as this football team. The pass can set up the run, and you can have good ball control.
Yeah, and early in the game, they didn't have time of possession because the Colts had a couple of drives that went down the field. I mean, they dinked and dunked their way down the field.
10 plays.
Yeah, and, you know, ended up with those Vinatieri field goals. So, I mean, you know, they once they got in their groove again, I thought that they were settled down, and they were very patient with the running game. I mean, they were very, very patient with the running game because, again, it was, you know, coming in little spurts, and then, bang, they hit that big one in the fourth quarter, and it was it finally gave them some breathing room.
Yeah, the running game was really about a little less than 3 yards per crack until they hit the big one. And the thing I was always kind of looking for them to do is pass the ball on first down when Freeney and Mathis weren't in there. Because, I mean, if I'm a tackle, I'm going, hey, I'll pass block this guy. I don't want one of those munchkins that run like, you know, a track star.
But they weren't running plays, but some of those, you know, 7 yard passes over the middle are basically long extended handoffs. I mean, that's a completion that McCoy can make every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no question about it. And
What I like is again, that sense of confidence. We talked about Colt McCoy. We talked about how he would respond. And I felt that once he got past that hit, whatever that hit does, sometimes quarterbacks say it's the wake-up thing you need too. And you can actually build upon that. I got the sense that, better he took it than I did, but I got the sense that he was in a groove after that happened. And between the play calling of Pat Shurmur and his sense of what was going on the field, the offense seemed very much in control. And look, again, the Colts are still the Colts defensively. That is still Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis. You didn't hear from Freeney again after that hit.
No,
I mean,
you didn't hear much from Mathis either.
Or Mathis.
Yeah, right.
So it looked to me like the offense was pretty much a step ahead, Deke, most of the way.
Well, yeah, and I think a big part of that was the decision-making process on behalf of Colt. You know, some quarterbacks, when they get out of the pocket, they're going to tuck and run. I mean, Colt was still looking down the field, and he made a lot of plays because of that.
Right. And we mentioned earlier, you did, about third down efficiency. So 8 of 16, 50% efficiency on third down. The Colts, 29% efficiency on third down. That's a huge story of this ballgame.
Well, but the other good thing that I noticed for a big chunk of the game, and I think when you start to see a defense turn the corner, when they can just get natural pressure without having to do a lot of, you see these safeties or you see Mike Adams running from way back. I thought all of a sudden that front four got its own pressure and
especially
push.
The middle. Yeah.
And I think there were a couple of times where Kerry Collins had to short step his throws and get rid of it a beat before he wanted to and just throw it away basically because he had either Sheard or Taylor or, you know, Reuben right up on him.
Yeah.
And they got their varsity letter yesterday, that defensive line, because I think Sheard and Mitchell played every snap, but Bernard didn't play any snaps yesterday.
Yeah. Right. No, that's a tremendous point. With regard to the drive starts that this team had, and looking at this stat jumps out at you. Browns average start at their 42. The Colts average start at their 22. That's quite a swing.
Brad Maynard, thanks very much as well. I mean, he did a really
nice job.
And the coverage as well. And Josh returning kicks.
Think about that. I mean, if you've got something close to that every game, your chances of winning every game got to go up exponentially.
Well, they won all three facets of the game yesterday. I mean, there's not an area where they were behind the Colts.
Well, and their first two touchdown drives, I think, were double-digit play drives.
Right,
and,
that's right.
That's a
one was that? Wasn't a 10-play, 80-yard drive?
10,
I remember,
10,
yeah,
10
I mean,
and
just
11.
The way you draw it up.
Right.
You know, I thought that was really good. I just want to say this about Cribbs. I didn't realize how bad that foot was last year that he injured because, boy, now you just see that gear that he couldn't hit late in the year last year. I mean, he just could not explode. And he was suddenly, I mean, you know, the heart was there, the desire to return, but that gear that he hits wasn't there.
Well, when we got off the airplane last year and you beat him to the car, I knew his foot was bothering
him. That was a pretty good sign. Yeah. And the one return looked like it was set up to the right side, and he took the thing back left on his own, trusting that speed.
Well, I think, you know, Josh has got enough experience that he knows if he goes up the middle, they're going to converge on him. And as soon as he reads that, I mean, he's reading as he's running.
Sure.
As soon as he sees those guys commit, he knows if he bounces it outside, these guys got to change directions, and they can't do it.
That's a great point. He covers kicks, so he knows what those guys are up against coming down the field.
It is the roundtable, and joining me, of course, is Jimmy Donovan, as he always does, as part of us from the Browns Radio Network, and, of course, Doug Deacon and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. So, guys, we talked amply about the defensive front, and it's so impressive to see what those guys do. Let's talk about the secondary, because I think this is a little bit of a chicken and an egg discussion here, because you heard them praising each other. You heard Joe Hayden say it was all those guys up front, and then you heard the guys up front say, hey, those guys in the secondary were doing stuff in coverage. Give me your version of which we're talking about here, chicken or egg.
You know, I'll tell you what.
And define.
I just want to say I thought the secondary, I thought Sheldon Brown had a very good ball game yesterday.
Yeah.
I really do. I thought Hayden played a very different game.
He sure did.
Physical game.
All day long. He was right there with
Wayne
and Garcon all day long. I mean, that he was hand fighting down the field, and I mean, he really had a different game than he had. He had a very like a clean finesse game against the Bengals, right, getting in and knocking those balls away. But he was up in everybody's body on Sunday.
And I'm not sure that first interference call was warranted, but then I thought he got away with one later in the game.
On,
so,
on weighing
yeah,
that
but,
time.
But playing that physical yeah. style game.
But, you know, those all, don't those all balance
yeah,
out
they do.
Over
yeah,
time?
They all balance out. And you know, if you're going to have a success on the defensive side of the ball, offensive side, you know, not every week everybody's going to be on the top of their game.
Yeah.
So somebody else has got to pick it up when you're not there. And I think yesterday the defensive line obviously, you know, got a lot of pressure for just a poor game. They run a lot of three-man, or they'll bring a linebacker too. But, I think Patterson is a guy, you know, we don't give him a lot of credit, but
sure,
you've got to have a nickelback in there that can cover, and he did a good job.
You know, Vic, this has got a chance to be a pretty good secondary. I mean, those are good players. I mean, and Osama Young looked very good yesterday. You know, he's getting more and more into it. This is a guy that didn't really do anything during training camp because of injury, and he had to wait then before he could get on the field. I think this has got a chance with everything fitting in. If they get that pass rush going like that, this is going to be a very good second.
After the offensive line, I think it's the greatest strength of his team, I'll be honest.
I like the not only the timeliness of his interception, but just the way he read everything, the way he drifted to the spot where he had to be. Now, And I think it's
perfect. Wayne falling down helped too.
Well, that's what I want to say. You anticipated my next point. So Wayne falls down on a play like that. Kerry Collins is your quarterback, not Peyton Manning. All of which leads to this: they beat not the Colts that we know the Colts to be. They didn't beat the Colts team that wins a dozen games the last couple of years. That's perennial playoff team and a team you look at as a potential Super Bowl team every year. Because Peyton Manning wasn't there. However, having said that, I think the step is still critical because, and I'm not saying they have to apologize for anything on this or that fans should be less enthusiastic or they should be less enthusiastic. Not a second. What I'm saying is you go on the road in a difficult environment to play, which it still was. You go on with a young team and you minimize your penalties in a place where, and that old line, that showed me plenty there. And you do what you should do to a 38-year-old quarterback in Collins, who is close, who might, my guess is he may not even finish the season with the team. I mean, I think it's the question's already raised as to whether they probably have to go to somebody else.
So
from the Browns' perspective, so what? But guess what? They did what they had to do.
Exactly. And at the end of the year, nobody's going to remember any of that.
Not a bit.
And I agree with you, Vic. It's a huge stepping point for this team yesterday.
I don't think the Colts will go in a different direction. I think they'll stay the same and go for the Andrew Luck.
Well, they're well on their way.
All right, well on their way.
It is game balls time, guys. Let's see what you have. We'll whip around the table here and start with Jim Donovan.
I'm going to give the rookie Jabal Sheard the ball, and I don't want him to lateral it or try and run it. I just want him to take the game ball and hold on to it. I want to give Colt McCoy a game ball because I thought he really – a road win for a young quarterback is a big thing, and I know he had a nice road win last year in New Orleans. But this was a good one yesterday, much earlier in the season, and he came off of a tough game the week before. And I got to give Cribbs another game ball, maybe a dozen of them. We can give him one every week because he's that important.
Well, when you're spending the owner's money, I like to give out a lot of game balls.
Exactly.
I'm going to give out five. Give out one to Colt McCoy because having a rough start in the opener and coming back and being as efficient as he was, I think he deserves it. I mean, he's going to be the catalyst of the offense. Special teams, Josh Cribbs, you got to give him one. I give one to Ruben. I think Ruben is the guy that kind of gets the tone set for that defensive line. I give one to Pat Shurmur for the way that he came back from having a disappointing opening loss and getting the team away. And I give the next one to Jimmy Donovan.
Oh, thank you.
I love that.
Wow.
Yeah, you should have got one last week, shouldn't you? What were we thinking?
Well, they weren't giving
it. We don't give them one anyway. You've got to win.
Funny, the Bengals sent me one time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with all those picks across the board. In fact, I know Shurmur got a game ball yesterday, but I really thought he set the tone last Monday, and it kind of carried through the week. And I'm going to give one to Brad Maynard as well. I mean, he came in here, got the job done, you know. A punter only stands out when things go bad usually or real well, and he did a nice job yesterday filling in.
As Deke so eloquently put it, it is about kind of spending the money that that isn't mine. So I am going to be very generous with the game balls here, and the Wilson company is going to love this. I am going to start with Pat Shurmur. The rookie head coach getting his first win on the road is a big deal. I'm going to give one to another coach, Dick Geron. As defensive coordinator, as was pointed out, he listened when – you know, a rookie defensive end said the comfort level is a little better on the other side. I'm sure he sized things up with the Colts and did that flip-flop with Jamie Mitchell, and it proved very effective. It put Sheard in a good position to succeed. The two special teams aces, of course, Josh Cribbs, Brad Maynard, got to get game balls, and we know the reasons for that. I'm going to give one to Peyton Hillis. Strong running. This was a game where the running game had to be a big part of what they did, their success, if they were going to win it against a smallish defense, and he was a huge part of that, obviously. Jabal Sheard, and, of course, Colt McCoy, to get that win on the road, that first one for him this season, to establish something. It's a confidence builder for sure. So we will have, by the way, our listeners vote as well. We're going to announce those later in the show. They cast their votes on the Browns official Facebook page. All right. Tremendous job, guys. I appreciate it. Jimmy, Doug, Tom, thank you so much. We'll reconvene on Friday, so we'll advance the Dolphins game then. All right. That is the roundtable. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hi, this is Vic Carucci talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. I'm driving a 2012 Ford Explorer Limited. It's roomy, and it has voice-activated sync, navigation, the works. I love the Liberty Ford experience. Their guaranteed financing and award-winning service department and body shop just add to it. Go to any one of their five locations to check out their huge selection of new and used inventory, or make it easy on yourself and go to LibertyFord.com.
Hey, Browns fans, Bernie Kosar here. As a former NFL quarterback, I know what it's like to get hit hard. But you can keep your wallet from getting hit hard when you take advantage of Discount Drug Mart's $1.99 generic prescription program. Discount Drug Mart offers hundreds of prescriptions and non-prescription medications starting at just $1.99. Just like my offensive line protected me, Discount Drug Mart will protect your wallet. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Ask the Expert from the Center for Orthopedics is available online at ESPNCleveland.com. Hear expert advice on sports injury questions from the physicians at the Center for Orthopedics. Each week, they answer a different question that you can submit by visiting ESPNCleveland.com. This week, Dr. Dan Zanotti takes a swing at golf elbow. So listen for Ask the Expert from the Center for Orthopedics each week on ESPN 850 WKNR, and check out every Ask the Expert segment at ESPNCleveland.com.
At Liberty Mutual, we believe in taking the time to understand your needs so you can get the coverage that's right for you. Find a local office at libertymutual.com/agents to speak to an agent today. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy?
It's time to kick off a season of savings at Medina Volkswagen Mazda. Ohio's fastest growing VW and Mazda dealer has put together all of the right plays to make sure their game plan makes you a winner. Right now, you can save up to thousands on their roster of fuel-efficient 2011 Volkswagens and Mazdas, including the VW Jetta and Mazda 3. Have a vehicle to trade in? Then you've come to the right place. You won't find any trick plays with the team at Medina Volkswagen Mazda. They'll pay more for your vehicle and sell you theirs for less, regardless of your car's make or mileage. It doesn't get much easier than that. With Medina Volkswagen Mazda, you'll never outkick your coverage, making life simple for you and your checkbook. So get out today and visit Medina Volkswagen Mazda on Pearl Road in Medina, or open anytime at MedinaVWMazda.com. Find out why they're Ohio's fastest growing VW and Mazda dealer, and experience the Medina Volkswagen Mazda difference.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hey, Browns fans, single game tickets are going fast, so purchase yours before it's too late, including the upcoming Browns versus Titans matchup. See what the Titans did to the Ravens yesterday. That's on Sunday, October 2nd at 1 p.m. For more information, you call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today. Now it's time to deliver our poll question results from our official Browns Facebook page, brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. The question was, which player gets your game ball? from the 27-19 win over the Colts yesterday. The choices: Joshua Cribbs, Usama Young had that interception. Jabal Sheard had the sack, the fumble recovery. Peyton Hillis, and you voted, and we took your votes, and the results are 74% of you said Peyton Hillis. And Kevin commented, he was a workhorse and played his butt off. Let's not forget the entire defense as well. Go Browns! And 26% of you said Joshua Cribbs. Winston comment, a couple of key returns from Cribbs was the key in the win. All right, some Ask Vic questions to get to. Mark, defense once again looks solid. Sheard was a menace off the edge. Wide receiver position seems to be an area of concern as far as production. Was there more emphasis on getting them the ball versus the Colts? Seemed like Colt McCoy was looking for Massaqua downfield more. I would say it came down to the Colts emphasizing defensively, taking away the tight ends, getting their hands on those guys, on Ben Watson and Evan Moore coming off the line and disrupting their routes. Moore did get the touchdown, though, so Colt looked more to the exterior with those throws. John asked, do you think we can maintain this momentum and win the next couple of games at home? I do think the momentum can be maintained. I really do. This was a solid team victory. Special teams very strong, as we talked about. Brad Maynard, what a difference maker. Huge for this football team, changing, flipping the field, as they say, for them. And let's see. Jessica asked, yesterday's win was not without its flaws. What do the Browns still need to work on while preparing for Miami? As Pat Shurmur said, everything. They didn't take a victory Monday. They went to work. Just worked on everything. And that's the way to kind of maintain this stuff. Thank yous to Bernie Kosar, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, Kristen Ribelli, Jameer Howerton, Dave DiNatale, Will Burge. We will do this again tomorrow. Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850. And it's driven by Liberty Ford, ESPN 850.